Thanks, Heather. When I was involved with youth work a few years back, one of the saddest things that I can remember happening, and it happened on numbers of occasions, was to go to a home of a lad who we'd not seen at the Bible class for some weeks, and just do a visit and say to parents, "How is he? Is there a problem?" And to get back the sad response, "Oh, he's got in with a bad crowd." That happened time after time. Youngsters who'd got in with the wrong group, whose relationships had gone wrong. And that's what we're looking at this morning. We're following Jesus this term in a whole range of his activities. And today, following Jesus in his relationships. In his relationships. I think after bereavement, loss of a job, house move, broken relationships are the key factors, or three of the key factors, in destroying people's lives, damaging them enormously. Broken relationships, not necessarily getting in with the wrong crowd, but a relationship that meant something that has gone. And first of all, before we look at relationship, what sort of person was Jesus? Can you imagine him as a Macy sort of person? Can you imagine him, Jesus, as being one of the boys? Bit of a joker? Party goer? That wasn't Jesus, was it? That wasn't Jesus. One of the wonderful verses in the Bible, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. And as we go through this morning and look at Jesus' relationships, I just want to pull out different issues that are relevant to us. Here's one. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. Jesus was a man of stature. Not a jokey type, a man of stature. A man that was respected by people. In relationship terms, people would look to him and, as we'll see in a moment, would trust him. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Anyone know? Somebody said it. Yeah, it's John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. Can anyone tell me the verse in the Bible where Jesus laughed? I'm glad you can't, because there isn't one. Just again, a picture of Jesus. Not a boring individual in any shape or form, but a man of stature. A man of stature. One who wept, and again, it's the story we just read a moment ago, Heather read to us, and we'll look again later on. Jesus alongside people, but not one who was flaky in any shape or form. A man of integrity, and this is an important one for us in our relationships, I believe. Jesus turned and said to Peter, and Peter was his right-hand man in many ways, wasn't he? What did he say? "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." That's an extraordinary thing to say to one of your closest buddies. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." Jesus was a man of great integrity in his relationships. Let me just read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus was involved with the rich man, a rich man who was very keen to get to know the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honour your father and mother and your neighbour as yourself. All these I've kept the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions. Woman at the well, we're going to look at again in a few minutes' time. Jesus spoke harshly to that lady, that Samaritan lady at the well. Jesus was a man of integrity. I struggle to see myself in my relationships saying to good friends of mine, perhaps not quite in the words of Jesus, get behind me, Satan, but I find it difficult to criticize in that sense. The rich man, but I've kept all of these commandments. There's a bit of me that would say, well done. You're nearly there. But that wasn't Jesus. Jesus in his relationships told the truth and told the truth in love, even if it was hurtful. Relationships that are solid ones are ones that are built on integrity. Now, some specific relationships of Jesus. Jesus and his relationship with God. Let's learn these words I've highlighted. Jesus, we find, went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. As usual. Relationship with God, that was his relationship. As usual, he went out to a quiet place to meet with God. What did Jesus say to us? When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Our relationship with God. Go into your room, close the door. Now, there's many ways of developing our relationship with God, and I'm a very great one for the arrow prayer, rather than going into your room and being quiet and so on. There's place for both. But a time to develop a relationship, we know in human terms, if you're going to develop a relationship, time is needed. Time is needed. We've got to spend time with each other. Jesus and his relationship with God. Jesus went out as usual, and Jesus says to us, go into your room, close the door, and pray. A difficult one. Jesus and his family. One bit of me thought, oh, I'll duck this in the sermon because it's really not an easy one to cope with. When we talk about relationships, the major relationship for most of us is our family. But when we're honest and look at Jesus, he was an itinerant, and really his whole love and service for God came way ahead of his family. In fact, he was seemed quite critical in some of the things he said about his family. What we do have, though, is Jesus at the very end on the cross. Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. They're not words we would normally use in our language today. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus had his role as the Son of God first, but we as individuals have got to see a relationship with our family. I can see myself in some ways in this. I'm a single guy. I've got one brother. He decided when he was 18 that he'd go to university in Montreal rather than in Manchester. And off he went, and he's not been back since, apart from social visits. Married a Canadian girl, got two children, Canadians, and that's it. Now, my relationship with him is nowadays very much by email. It's a relationship that we spend time on holiday, and I spent a very pleasant few weeks with he and his wife and the two children at different times just a few weeks back. But I'm aware that I don't have that family in the way in which most people do. And Jesus, in many ways, was in this position. As an itinerant, he was away all the time. He wasn't sitting at home doing his carpenter's job with his family. Just one little incident, and I'll then come back again to our friendships. This was Jesus. Do you remember? A family had been up to the temple in Jerusalem. He was 12 at the time. And the family headed back. And of course, in those days, they'd head back in a very large convoy of people. And the children would have sleepovers with their mates anywhere in this queue of people that could well be a mile long. And I guess parents weren't too bothered if after a day or two they hadn't seen their son, he'd be somewhere with his pals. But after a few days, Jesus' parents started to just get a bit worried and look for him, couldn't find him, went back to Jerusalem, and lo and behold, where was Jesus? He was in the temple. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Even at that stage, Jesus was very aware of his role as the Son of God, but equally, not very happy parents, I suspect. I think if you'd lost your 12-year-old for a couple of days and found he'd stayed behind somewhere, you may well have quite a few words to exchange with him. Jesus and his disciples. Let me get back now to the family, our relationships within the family, and the key part they play. In Jesus' case, with not having that family around him, the key people were his disciples. And we need to learn from that, I believe. I'm probably more conscious than many because of my single status. But to have a group of friends, close friends, with whom we have a real relationship. That's what Jesus had with his disciples. And more than that, we find that one of them, the disciple to whom Jesus loved, we assume John, was reclining next to him. Jesus had a group of very close friends who he related to day by day, who he trusted and worked with. And on top of that, it would appear that there was one particular disciple who was the close one. And when we talk about our own relationships, can I encourage you to think, firstly, of being part of a small group, not necessarily a church one. Peter Sanderson, preaching a couple of weeks ago, was talking about the value of a small group, 10 or a dozen people sitting around in a room, opening the Bible, talking together and sharing together, the value of having that sort of relationship. But to go one beyond that and say, is there a person, and we often call them in today's world a mentor. I have somebody who is a mentor, who I trust in every way. In many cases, this is probably a husband or a wife. I wouldn't know how that relationship works. You'll have to work it out for yourself. But somebody who we can sit with and really bear our soul, a real relationship of depth. Now, I believe that Jesus, with his disciples, had both the small group who worked together and trusted each other, and as well as that, had got that one, John, the mentor, a special relationship. What about friends and casual dealings that Jesus had? Back with the Samaritan woman. This is where Jesus was very thirsty, went to a well, he was exhausted, and this Samaritan lady, and Jews and Samaritans never talked, of course, came along, and Jesus said, "Will you give me a drink?" And the whole conversation opened up. Jesus had a remarkable ability to open up conversations and relationships. And I believe that's something we need to learn today from Jesus. I had a colleague in the office, dear John, who's still a very good friend of mine. We've been retired some years. He had an immense ability when people came into his office with a tax problem. He was a tax partner in the office, to chat with them. And in no time at all, John was dealing with the family, the children, issues in people's life. Yeah, sort out the tax return, but an ability to have a relationship that drew out from people. And still today, and he's been retired many years, he's in touch with many of those ex-clients of his, because they've become more than friends, they've become people who really trust him. Jesus had a great concern. Back with Lazarus, Jesus went, when he heard of the death of Lazarus, Jesus saw Mary and Martha, his sisters, weeping. The Jews who'd come along with her were also weeping. Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Deeply moved in spirit and troubled. In relationship terms, Jesus lived the life with these folk. Jesus, have I broken it? Jesus lived the life with these friends of his, with his relationships. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. A great lesson for us. Jesus in relationships lived the life that those folk were living. And then a favourite of mine, Zacchaeus. Jesus going through the streets in Jericho, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Now, come on. Zacchaeus was a tax gatherer, a very wealthy man, a crook, hated by everybody. A little man, as the children's chorus will tell us, couldn't see Jesus through the crowds, climbed up a tree. Jesus gets to the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Well, come on. Jews don't go to the house of tax collectors and have supper with them. It caused an outrage. The disciples were upset. The Pharisees were shouting. Everybody was. But Jesus knew the value of hospitality. Jesus came down immediately and said, "I must stay at your house today." He also said it to Levi, the tax gatherer, as well. Exactly the same situation. And people were outraged. Now, Jesus wasn't able to offer hospitality. He didn't have a home, probably couldn't cook. We can. And let me offer both of these sides to us this morning. Offering hospitality, 1 Peter chapter 4. Offer hospitality one another without grumbling. A most extraordinary issue in relationship terms to say, come into my home. Come and have a cup of coffee. Come and have a meal. But equally, to be those who are looking and willing, not just to scrounge meals, I know all about that as well, but the willingness to go into people's homes and spend time with them. Most of us enjoy having folk in our home. We're proud of our home. We like to see people. Jesus, in relationship terms, was brilliant at hospitality. And then finally, relationship with enemies. I don't think Jesus ever sought revenge. I don't think Jesus ever resorted to violence. Peter did. He swung his sword and chopped off somebody's ear, you might remember. But Jesus dealt constantly with enemies, constantly being attacked, constantly being hassled. And I don't think there's a single occasion recorded in Scripture where Jesus either sought revenge on people or resorted to violence. A great lesson for us again. How easy it is in relationship terms to say, I owe them one there. I need to get my own back. Never, ever, ever did that thought seem to cross Jesus' mind. Jesus never sought revenge. Jesus never resorted to violence. And just a quote to finish with. Dear John Stott, that many of us will know by name, may have read his books. At his memorial service, it was said that John wrote for millions, preached to thousands, but, like Jesus, invested in individuals. Isn't that true? Jesus didn't get the opportunity to write the books that John did, but he certainly preached to thousands. But Jesus invested in individuals, the woman at the well, Mary and Martha. And so one can go right through the New Testament. Jesus invested in individuals as he met them. Lessons for us every step of the way. Jesus in relationships. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example we have. Thank you for all that has been written in the Gospels of the relationships that Jesus enjoyed with so many. And Father, today we just humbly ask that we may challenge ourselves, perhaps just in one area, perhaps in a couple of areas that we've seen today illustrated in Jesus' life, and go away resolving ourselves that we'll follow, perhaps not being vengeful, perhaps being given more in hospitality, perhaps living the life, the problems with individuals in their grief or in their disappointment. Father, whatever it may be, we pray that we may follow you in our relationships. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.